And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I am Dan Elmendorf. Joining me on the phone line today is Pastor John Vance.
I'm delighted to be with you, Dan, and your listeners.
I was listening on the feed coming across, and I thought I heard you drinking a cup of coffee or something. So I may have caught you.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I've got a cup of coffee right here, and I like my coffee, I can tell you that. Pastor John Vance, dear listener, if you don't know, is a board member here at Redeemer, and he used to pastor in the Hudson Valley of New York State for some 40 years and finally retired, but he's very active, and he's in West Virginia. And Pastor Vance, how's it going at your house that you built those years, several years ago? Is it holding up okay in the storms and all?
It's holding up. We've had a few storms.
Yeah.
But this is a relatively safe place with respect to thunderstorms and tornadoes and earthquakes and hurricanes. We seem to be sheltered more than most of the country.
Good.
About all those things. It's fine. Our flowers are growing. We've had a tremendous growing season so far. Garden is doing fine.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah. Deb does a garden here, and it's a beautiful thing. She never has quite enough time to tend it, but she does work at it sometimes late at night. She'll work until it gets dark. And, today as we're recording this, I've got a bunch of grandchildren outside running all around with water pistols. They're just having a blast, quite literally. So we may hear a little bit of that come across the mic here. You're always watching the news, kind of like me, keeping a tab on things. I don't like being taken by surprise. I like to keep up with what's going on. One news item that just happened to see today was that we had some very good news for June in terms of illegal aliens coming into the United States. The number is zero for coming into the United States. They apprehended a little over 6,000, which is way down compared to a year ago, but actually letting them in, they were all stopped. So I see that as very good news.
Yes, it is. It's not an exaggeration to say we had no border. And it can be described as an invasion.
I agree.
You know, the Bible has a lot to say about how to treat, of course, the sojourner and so forth. And people use those verses to justify what is going on, but they forget that they're probably talking about a family moving across the land or something like that. I love the Psalms, and I've recently been teaching about it, but it says the Lord watches over the sojourner, but he upholds the widow and the fatherless.
Yeah.
But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. It's the latter part. We have just opened up our gates and allowed human, and it's a threat to the safety, particularly of young women.
Oh, it is.
And children. it's criminal.
I chuckle because I've seen where some well-meaning Christians, even online, they'll say, oh, there's no problem with these people coming in. There's no extra crime. It's just all a myth. But that's just not true. There's been a massive increase in crime during the Biden years by illegal aliens. And there also was an expectation kind of shoved down our throats that it's okay to be displaced by folks coming in. It's okay to lose all that you worked for. And in fact, some people want to say, you know, if a illegal takes up residence in a vacant home that you've had vacant for a couple of months, that's fine. You ought to just give them that home. And this is insanity, Pastor Vance. I've never seen such insanity before.
It shows you the length that the left will go to gain voting power and power in this country. They're willing to risk destroying the livelihoods of all millions of people The real problem is not with the rich. They live in gated communities. And
sure, they do. Yeah.
They're sheltered from all of this. The problem is with the, like my family background, the working class and inner city people. By the way, you mentioned crime. The crime has actually gone down in recent months.
Yes.
And guess why?
Well, I wonder why. There is somebody that wrote an article, I won't mention his name, but he said this was a deliberate resettlement program, a calculated strategy to break the back of the real America by ensuring there is no escape. Damage done during the Biden years cannot be overstated. They were bussed in, flown in, planted in your communities to act as demographic time bombs. You are being made a stranger in your own home. There's no running. There's no hiding. The front line of this invasion is now on every main street in every small town in this country. Now, I happen to be on a mailing list of this gentleman, and you've probably guessed that I rather like this guy. But I don't like being made to feel guilty over something like this. We should not allow ourselves to be bullied into impotence by some twisted theology and shamed into accepting our own demise. I'm using his words there. I think he writes some potent words.
Yes, did not one of the Supreme Court justices say that the Constitution is not a suicide pact?
Right.
It is not sane to go down this road. You read that. The left has a narrative, a historical narrative that justifies all of this. They really think that we need to be overthrown and reconstitute our whole way of life.
Correct.
In a new society. And the reason is that the sin of suppressing, quote, the Native American, the sin of slavery, and all of these narratives that are exaggerated and abstracted from normal histories of any people, which is full of lots of things that go wrong, but they fail to appreciate what went right.
Good point.
And we do not live in a perfect world. We live in a world where we can't make the perfect the enemy of the good. And so they're using a standard of judgment that no one can live up to.
No.
And furthermore, they're willing to destroy all that's good and holy and true to reorganize society along a socialist, if not communist, lines.
Oh, yeah.
I prefer to see it as socialist. And this new young guy in New York who is now the Democratic nominee for mayor.
Oh, he's terrible.
Is a harbinger of what they really want.
Yes. The guy who I was reading, he was pointing out the mindset of Nehemiah years ago. Nehemiah. And when the enemies of God sought to stop the rebuilding of Jerusalem, he says Nehemiah didn't form a committee on tolerance. He didn't issue a press release about his commitment to diversity. He put a sword in one hand and a trowel in another, and he commanded his people to work and to be ready for battle. He understood that building and defending are two sides of the same sacred duty. Like I said, I like that guy. we've got a lot of work to do. Under the past administration, at least 21 million individuals were brought in, and some were just plopped into the middle of Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York. We've got a total mess on our hands. We were going down a small town street the other day, and something didn't look right, Pastor Vance. I could see some people there that they looked like they didn't belong. And I think that that's happened all over, and we got a lot of work on our hands, I'm afraid.
We just had an illegal criminal arrested in a small, beautiful town in West Virginia called Lewisburg. I don't know whether the country knows about Lewisburg, but it was voted a few years ago the best small town in America.
Huh.
It is beautiful and so forth, but they are now arresting illegal criminals in that area, which is kind of shocking.
Yeah.
It's only 20 miles from our house.
That's right.
It's amazing. I thought, well, we're protected here on the mountain. I don't know.
I'm afraid not. Yeah, some years ago, I was having my car worked on, it was in Kingston, which is a, you know, not that large of a town, 25, 30,000, something like that. But I was on Broadway, and it was before the Honda dealership moved, and I didn't feel terribly safe. There was something next door, and people were coming in and out and in and out, and had the feeling of drug deals going on. And, you know, people want to feel safe, especially when they've been brought up in an area. And then all of a sudden, the area just changes. The whole mm-hmm. tenor of the area changes, and you no longer feel safe, as it were, in your own backyard. This is unacceptable, as far as I'm concerned.
I have an anecdote. Not all the illegals, of course, are for sure not criminals.
Oh, no.
Or bad people. The borders were just open, and. And economically, many of them came in. Well, they're no doubt good people, hardworking people. I'll tell you this story. My daughter lives in Florida, and she has a gardener family, Jose something. I forget his name. He's from Mexico. His mm-hmm. first name's Jose. I've talked to him, and he's been in this country for about 25 years, mm-hmm. and he was arrested. And he was being held in Texas, and they'll deport him to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sad in one sense that a good man like that.
Right.
But let me put this in perspective. All of these that I want to be common citizens and part of this country, this administration has offered to help you go back to your country and file legal papers and come back into the country. They even said they would expedite you.
That's exactly right.
So we should not forget that. There's a lot of compassion in this administration about those matters. They're really trying to get those who are harmful to our society.
Sure.
And anyone, I think, who rebels against that is asking for more drugs, more drug overdoses, child kidnapping and slavery,
yes.
Rape and prostitution. What do you really want? put things in perspective. You know, there are two things that we have to do when we begin to look at an issue like this. The first is scale. Look at the scale that we're dealing with. You mentioned 21. I think Yale University did a study some years ago, and they said there were 30 million people,
yes.
In the country, and it's probably 40.
Yes, yes.
To tell you the truth, we've probably imported a country population the size of Spain.
Yes.
But the other thing is order. You can't just have a disordered society with all of the chaos.
No.
It has to be, you know, the scripture in another context. It has to do with church order, but it says do all things decently and in order. No society is going to survive with the kind of chaos and disorder that we've had.
No way. Today we're talking with Dr. John Vance, a dear friend, a friend of the ministry and a board member here at Redeemer. Pastor Vance, one of your friends is Tim, our son, and he thinks the world of you. Sometimes I talk with him, and he's working his head off. I'll tell you, there's so much work to do. And there's an irony here. I go down another rabbit trail here for just a moment. There's an irony. Contractors who have businesses, there's kind of a common theme. It's hard to find people to work. Hard to find people to work that want to really work hard. Have you heard of that happening in your area?
Yes. Oh, yes. Sure. We have to go to Charleston. It's a pretty large, small city, and so you do have a different dynamic and vibe altogether when you get into areas like that. And yes, you have that. Around here, of course, everybody pretty much does their own work. They're farmers and so forth. But when I was in college, I was a landscaper. I worked for a landscaping
company. Oh, yeah.
I tell you, it's very hard work.
It is.
But it's good work. It actually makes you healthier and every other. You know, we have to get back to physical labor in this country.
Yeah, you're right.
For many of our young people, you either have to go in the military and build yourself up or do some hard work. You can't be always at the PlayStation, so to speak, on your computer and so forth. But it's healthy. It's good. And I know that your son has a hard time hiring people. And others do too in this area, because we really have to build up our own work ethic again.
We do.
In this society.
We do. And sometimes people want to overachieve in terms of handing out benefits to people, frankly, that don't deserve them. You know, I have no problem with helping somebody that's down and out, and I prefer to personally help them rather than forcing our government to do so. But we're creating a whole society of people that kind of feel like they're entitled to something, and they really do need to get out to work.
I remember as a child, I lived for 4 years with my aunt. I won't go into the reasons why. On top of this mountain here, that's why I'm back in this area. On top of this mountain here in West Virginia, and I can remember walking through one doorway. I was probably five.
Yeah.
And I could read back then. I could read. I was five or six. I went back to home to Charleston at six. But I read it before six, and on it says, and it showed a man, beard out and this and that, and he looked like he was just sitting. And it says, "And you think the world owes you a living." And that mentality is not what our heritage is.
No, it isn't.
Our heritage is that we have a calling. It makes no difference whether it's being a doctor or a bricklayer or a lawyer or a plumber, whatever. I was just talking to a fellow yesterday who fixed some faucets for me that froze over the winter, and outside faucets that are not supposed to freeze, but we had a week of about six below, seven
below. Oh, that'll do it.
Weather, and it just froze everything. It was a week long. It's only been a day or two or three. It might not have, but it was about 7 or 8 days.
Yes.
And so he was fixing, and we were talking. This guy's as smart as he can be. And he says, "Well, I've gotten back into this area," and he says, "I love it. I love working with my hands. I love working hard and serving and helping people." And I thought, we need some more of that.
We really do. We really do. We have a man in our area that does pumps. He's just really an expert in doing pumps. And if our pump goes bad, I know exactly who to call. And I dread the day when that guy retires, because he's absolutely the best. And he immediately gets it resolved. He doesn't waste any time. He goes in there and out, and it's done, and it works. Oh, I love people like that.
Yes, amen. And we need to, even from our pulpits, preach the work ethic in this society. We need to renew that. This is a Puritan concept.
Yeah.
Was formulated strongly in their society, that everybody had a calling, and it was beneficial to the whole. We have developed a society now where we expect at least about 20% of our people not to be productive, even more maybe. And a lot of the younger people, I've listened to a manager the other day talking on television. He was talking about the expectation of the young people. They come in for interview for an office, and what they're really interested in is, how much vacation time do I have?
Oh, yeah.
And they don't want a week to start with. What are the benefits? Do you have a gym so that I can work out and everything like that?
And they don't even think about, or they give the impression they're not even thinking about the work that they have to output. We're talking about illegal aliens, and I hope people don't misunderstand our intentions. The other year, we were having fiber put into the studio here, And it was a big deal because they had to go underground with it to get it to the studio. And most of those workers were, from what I could perceive, they were Mexicans. And they were the best workers in the world. I've never seen anything like it. These guys were were phenomenal, Pastor Bantz. I'd never seen anything like it. So this is not a – I hope people understand, this is not a racist thing. This has to do with status and whether you belong here or not and whether you come through the front door. I love it when people come through the front door and they have talent and they're willing to work. That's great.
Well, it's Phil Graham. I don't know whether you remember. He's a former senator from Texas, and I believe he's I'm pretty sure he passed away. But he gave a stem winding speech. He was an ex professor, went into politics, and he gave a stem winding speech, and where he had an image that has stuck with me, and he says, "You that are in the wagon have got to get out and help push." And if you remember the settling of the West, you know, these people would get their wagons stuck in mud and going up hills and over. You couldn't be riding. You had to get out and push.
Yeah.
And we welcome everyone in the world who will come in and contribute. And but
that's
we'd
right.
like for you to get out of the wagon and push a little bit.
That's right. It makes all the difference in the world. And you touched upon this, too, and that is when you work hard at something – when you really work hard on it, it makes you feel good. It comes right back and basically blesses you. It's a good thing to work hard.
Accomplishment and pride
yes.
in your work is there's nothing like it when you accomplish something and then you're proud that you did it and worked hard. Plus, We talk about education. We think of only of, I taught in college many
That's
years.
That's right.
So I do have an understanding of our educational system, maybe that some don't.
Sure.
But you are learning an enormous amount when you are doing things.
Yeah.
Some people learn differently, and there are a whole host of people that learn by doing.
Yes.
They don't just simply read a history book and so forth like I do, or a theology book or a philosophy book. I've taught philosophy for years, Eastern and Western.
Yes.
It's by doing, and it's no accident.
Yes.
I once lectured to a high school English class years ago in New York. They asked me to come into the class and talk about the Puritans, since one of the kids in the class was from Westminster. And the teacher invited me. It's a secular school. And I said,
that's neat.
I don't know whether you know it or not, but 98% of the Puritan children could read.
Wow.
98%. There was virtually no illiteracy. They were illiterate people. Now, they were motivated to read the Bible.
They were.
And so forth. But the standard of education in Puritan New England was unbelievable. We have never attained that since in any way, shape, or form. And they were doers, and they beat back the wilderness. It's an amazing thing what they accomplished. No wonder. And we've quit teaching these stories, by the way.
That's right. Well, this has turned into a fireside chat today, and it's not even all that cold outside. But I love getting together with Pastor Bantz here and having this chat. We're just about out of time. Pastor Bantz, someone out there that is maybe a little discouraged and said, oh, it doesn't matter if I work or not. Any words of encouragement for that person?
Well, the scripture does say, whatever your hand is fine to do, do it.
Amen.
And it's a wonderful concept to be engaged in life, in work, and accomplishment. As you well know, I would be classified as elderly, even getting close to the real elderly, you know, the advanced people. But accomplishment at any age, from a 4-year-old who walks in and say, look what I built.
Amen.
Or this or that, to an 84-year-old who maybe doesn't feel as well in this as bright and energetic as he once did. But when he accomplishes something or contributes something, it's a wonderful thing. And this is Bible, as the old timers used to say.
Yeah.
This is a life One of my favorite verses, of course, is from the Apostle Paul, which he says, "O Lord, in you we live and move and have our being."
Amen.
With your eye on the Lord and doing productive work, then there's not a problem of having happiness in your life and fulfillment.
Very nice summary from our dear friend, Dr. John Vance. And Pastor Vance, thank you for joining us today. May the Lord watch over you and bless you and keep you, you and your wife there in West Virginia, and look forward to having you on the program again.
Well, thanks for having me this time, Dan. Blessing.
And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.